Is joy happiness?
No.
Who said no first?
Not necessarily happiness.
Okay, not necessarily happiness. You know, certain things just kind of always stick out in your mind as you go through life's journey. And I can remember the day I was down in Houston. I went down to open up an office for Houston quite a few years ago. And stayed down there for 54 weeks. And was running a branch. And I can remember that particular morning before I left to go to work, Sue and I were on the phone. And we had some problems with kids. I know nobody else has ever had any problems with their kids. But we did. And I can remember saying some pretty nasty things to Sue, and she was a little bit kinder and didn't say them back, but I mean, it was an argument. And so I'm going to work, I'm unhappy, and so I get to the door to walk into my branch, and I do as I often say to myself, it's showtime, Big E, and so just walked in, and good morning, how are you doing? Things are going good, and I can still remember little receptionist, her name was Cindy, and she said, you know what I like about you, Mr. Pyle? And I said, what's that? And she says, you're always happy. And I thought to myself, you should have seen me 60 seconds ago. Now, my particular business philosophy was I owed it to my employees to be happy. Was always happy at PQ. But I grew some.
That was early days.
Yeah, it was early days. But I needed to be happy because I owed it to my employees. Now, did I have joy when I walked into that building?
No.
So when we say that the gift of the Spirit is joy, well, what are we talking about? If it's not happiness, then what is it? That's a rhetorical question. We're going to answer that at the end of the lesson. So what I thought we would do was that we would go through today some Bible characters, because after all, they are there as examples to us, and I want to try to find where their joy was. Okay? So the first one, let's look at Job. Full of joy?
Yes. Certain parts of his life. Yes.
Certain parts? Was he real joyful when he lost his home?
No.
Was he real joyful when he lost his family?
No.
Was he, except his wife? Big lesson there, but that's another lesson. Was he joyful when he lost his animals?
No.
Was he joyful when he got all those sores on him?
Was he joyful or did he have joy?
Hey, I asked the question. I don't know how y'all do Fort Worth. I don't know how they do Fort Worth over there. I answer no questions. I just ask questions. So where in the world do we think he had joy?
Last statement of the
perception. All right, come to that. Let me quote you what Job said in his relationship to God. God, why did you even create me? I would have been better off if I would have died in my mother's womb.
That doesn't even sound very happy.
I don't think he's happy one bit.
But that wasn't all he said.
So where's his joy? Well, Job's a hard one. Let's go to an easy one. Let's go to Moses. Born to be a Pharaoh. Now, is that pretty good? But and he chose a different course. And I want you to see how he started off his joyful life. He sat one day and said, "You know, God wants me to deliver all these children of Israel, so I think I better get on my journey." So how did he begin? He went and killed somebody. Now, how much joy did he have that day, you think? How much joy did he have in the wilderness for 40 years tending sheep? That's not a rhetorical question. Think he was happy in the desert?
I think most men like to be in their caves, so I'd have to answer yes.
Wow. Big screen TV.
Well, that same lady didn't have a wife then either.
See?
Well,
and the first thing that God said to him was, "Now, Moses, I'd like for you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to talk to the Pharaoh, and I want you to get my children delivered." And what was his immediate response?
Not me, somebody else.
Can't do that one! How much joy you think he had in the wilderness?
With all the whiners?
Big time whiners. And then what was his life dream on this earth? What was he wanting to do? To cross over. So how much joy did he have when God said to him, "Moses, you're not going"?
I think he had joy on that mountaintop. Even though he didn't get to do that. Because who was he talking to on that mountaintop?
Same person he talked into the wilderness that said, "Go and to the king of Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go."
Same one he talked to and saw the face of.
Same one we talked to.
That's right.
So where's that joy? Let's go with the little guy David. Now, here's a guy that really started off on the right track. As a little boy, what did he accomplish? Killed a giant that everybody in the entire nation was scared to death of. Then he became king. What would you characterize David's life like?
Well, up and down, because he certainly had joy when he danced naked before the Lord. I don't think there's any evidence of wanting to do that.
Okay. Do y'all have people like this in Fort Worth too?
He was ultimately disappointed he wasn't able to build the temple.
Yeah. What happened to his lifelong dream? Dashed. What happened to his sons that he had? Horrible. He had his best friend, one of his best friends, killed. Where's that joy? Somebody look up 1 Kings 14:8. Whoever gets there, read away. 1 Kings 14:8.
"I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes."
How about John the Baptist? What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? Greatest of the prophets. Well, let's look at his joy. He's in prison, feels neglected, gets discouraged, and what's the one question that he wants answered? What kind of joy do you get from that question? I thought that when you had a relationship with God, that at the towards the end of your life, that you would not have questions like, are you really the one?
The joy comes in the answer.
Pardon?
The joy comes in the answer.
The answer to what?
To all of their questions, all of the questions for David, Moses, all the examples you just gave us, the joy is in the answer.
Okay, I'm just, by about 11:05, I want to hear that answer.
Amen.
Yes?
I think that just because you have joy, but you're not going to have adversity in your life, so you're going to go through all the tribulations, but because of the personal relationship that you have with Christ, the joy will be there. Like I said, the joy comes in the morning. So you will get that joy, but going through this, like on this earth, you're not going to get it here.
Okay. Now we're getting to kind of where I feel good. So there is no joy here.
Not really.
Well, is the test for the fruit of the Spirit 11 out of 12? Knowing Jesus. Okay, I appreciate that answer.
The joy comes from the hope of the future.
So there's no joy here. We just hope.
No, you can have joy. It can be a present.
Yes.
One of the examples you didn't give, you know, when the wise men saw the star at Jesus' birth, it says that they were full.
Yeah, well, they don't count. They're heathen.
Because they had faith in what they had been told was going to take place, and they were foreseeing the fulfillment of what they had hoped for, so to speak.
Okay.
And they had joy.
Okay. How about the apostles? Would you say that after Christ ascended to heaven and they were there in the upper room and they were praying and studying and went through the Old Testament and began to understand the most important message a person can understand, this is God. He dwelt right here among us. He was the Son of God. And so they immediately go out and try to conquer or evangelize the entire world for Christianity. Now, while they were out doing these things, did they have joy?
Yes.
Who says yes? Well, I got one yes. Let's see. How did Peter die?
Stone.
Crucified upside down on a cross. How did John the Revelator, what miracle happened to him?
Thrown
in a pot of boiling oil. How did some of the other apostles die? He got out of the pot. How did some of the others die?
Traumatically.
Where's that joy? Let's go to the Reformers. Ever read about the Reformers? Huss and Jerome. Jerome studied with Huss. John Huss went to be burned alive at a stake. Do you know what he did? He sang. Jerome recanted. And then he recanted his recant. And when he was burned at the stake. He asked that one hand, I guess is right, that he wrote with and signed that recantation or whatever words one would use, that it be out there so it could burn off first. Do you think he had joy?
If they didn't have joy, they couldn't go through that.
Why? If I went right down the row, which I won't, and if I went right down the row today and asked, do you have joy in your life today? Do you think we would get more yays or more no's?
Yes.
We would get what?
More yeses.
More yeses.
Yes.
There we go.
Well, I hope so.
They had joy because they had peace.
Let me see.
Don't get into next week's lesson.
When I'm told that I can't go to the promised land, that's peace?
Yes, that is peace.
Oh, I'm going to differ a little bit with you. When I'm sitting in prison, wondering why Jesus hasn't come to visit me, and I send my disciples out to say, look, let's just kind of get down to the nitty-gritty. Are you the one? Is that joy?
The joy is still there.
Pardon?
I say the joy is still there.
How?
I had a horrible week. Really, I did. But my joy has never waned and never left. Because that is a gift that I got from the Holy Spirit. When you're giving us instances of horrible tragedies and things that happened.
How many of y'all have had horrible tragedies within the last year? Talking about real. Real life. Okay, proceed.
So, it's that trust that this is not happening. God was not surprised that this happened. I'm not in a place where He has not already said if He's given permission for this to happen to me. So, my joy doesn't go away. My happiness was gone.
Okay.
I wasn't happy. That's what I lost, is happiness.
So, what would you tell the people of Haiti today? Have joy?
Jesus is joy.
Yes.
And someone who knew because they were singing.
They were singing.
Praise God. Absolutely.
Joy they weren't killed, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So,
the Bible says we're to jump up and down with joy when calamity strike. It's been difficult to do.
But our joy isn't in this life. It's in the life to come.
Okay.
But it gets us through this life.
Yes.
It gets us through this life.
Are you sure that joy is not in this life?
It is in this life.
Because then how can it be a fruit of the Spirit and be recognized if it cannot be attainable in this life?
There's certainly joy in this life. There's a lot of things that we enjoy that...
There's happiness in this life.
There's joy in this life.
All right, name me three.
All right. The love that I have for my family and that my family has for me makes me joyful. To have hold my grandchild makes me joyful.
Okay.
There's a lot. Of course, I live in denial, but...
For our visitors, that's not... We wished he was on the Nile in Egypt, but that's not what he's saying.
He's truthful. That's wonderful.
Bernie, I think that he's hit on something that most of us, if we were really honest about it, and you've alluded to it, is that most of us do live in denial. And that is why it's very easy for us to sit here and say that we could be joyful. Because we have become so good at a facade that we are afraid to tell people how we really are feeling because they don't want to hear it. And we've learned that. We've learned that lesson from the time we're in the nursery, that the cute babies and the smiling babies get attention. And the ugly crying babies get a lot less attention, and that's just the fact of life, and that's been researched. So that is how young we learn that, that if we put on the right face, we're going to get positive attention, and if we don't, we aren't going to get that same kind of attention. And we learn that lesson very well, and I think that we have lost the ability to really be honest with each other because of that.
Can you fake joy?
Certainly. No. You can fake happiness. You cannot fake joy.
People fake whole relationships. They sure can fake joy.
There's an honest answer.
Everybody stand up that you think that can fake joy.
Well, I think you can fake joy.
Except for
be fair.
Our poor guy that runs about a 30, 10-second, 100-yard dash. Stand up if you think you can't fake joy. How many don't care?
They take the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
My question is joy something that shows that people can see that you are joyful, or happiness is what people see from you?
Excellent question.
You see that you're sad when you're happy, you see that you're happy, but joy, I don't know where people can really see that you are joyful.
Excellent question. You see, when I walked into that office in Houston, wasn't one problem faking happiness. That was a learned trait. That was a practiced trait.
But what about the people in Haiti who were dancing and singing? I didn't see happiness, but I saw joy. They weren't happy about what happened to them, but they still were joyful and could celebrate that they were alive.
Okay.
It's just my opinion.
We do allow opinions in here. Where does joy come from? And what does that mean?
That's what the scripture says. Joy, he gives us the joy.
It's part of our character, isn't it?
Knowing God.
Knowing God. Are you sure?
Knowing God and know who He is and what He can do. Just like the lesson said, Christ, even during His death, He shouted, "Lord, why have you forsaken me?" But He had joy because of what He knew He could accomplish.
Did joy? Did Jesus have joy in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Yes.
Father, take this away from me. I don't want to go through this, sweating with drops of blood, pleading for His disciples to stay awake, would have died in the Garden of Gethsemane had the angels not come and helped Him to survive. And that's joy.
I didn't say He was joyful. I said He still had joy. If you don't have it, where did it go?
Do the fruits of the Spirit have to be simultaneous at all times?
Good question. What's the answer?
No.
The things that you spoke of about Christ at that point is not what made Him joyful at that time.
Well, I thought that our pat answer for anybody who has any trouble is just trust God. He's in charge, and it'll all work out in the end.
Well, that's a true statement. It doesn't always make you feel joyful to hear that statement, but it's a true statement.
Planned Parenthood is over in Haiti, or on the way to Haiti, to teach Haitians how to have birth control. Can't make these things up.
How to have it or how to use it?
I don't go past. I don't go past too many thoughts. Now, is that what the people in Haiti need today?
No.
Is to learn not how to have children or what to do if you have children? Is that what they need today?
No. Well, it depends. If they can get their product off the runway, then
well, let me tell you, if I'm hungry, I'm bleeding, I'm hurting, and my child's just died, it's not the time for me to discuss birth control. And if I'm hurting, and I'm sorrowful, and I'm wondering where God is, and if God is still there, as John the Baptist, the message did not come back, just trust. The message came back, look and see what's going on and then draw your own conclusion. And after they watched Jesus for a day, they came back and John had his answer. Happiness can be faked, it can be learned, it can be expressed. You can make yourself be happy to a certain extent, but if you're looking for joy, you're not going to find it in a book on how to have joy. Because joy, true joy, comes from only one source. Somebody that's a very good reader. James, you did very good on 1 Kings 14:8. So look up Psalms 139. In fact, everybody turned to Psalms 139. By the way, did you have joy this week?
When I took some of the medication,
one of the most sensible answers we've heard today. Yes, sir.
It's in the Bible that really doesn't explain joy, but I think of Miriam after they crossed, they got through the Red Sea, how she danced and banged the tambourine and sang, and that was an expression of joy. We have had
is that joy or happiness?
I don't know. It looks like joyful to me.
Because she wasn't very joyful when she had leprosy and murmured against Moses and was one of those that helped him build on the golden calf. At least she didn't try to prevent it. Yes?
I was going to ask you for your definition of joy.
Well, we're getting to it.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that question. All right, James, are you ready?
I'm at 139, but I don't know.
We're going to start at verse 1 until I get bored with you. All right, nice and loud. Everybody Everybody look at 139. Very, very important answer to today's question. Okay, James.
Okay. Oh, Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before the word is on my lips, you know it's completely over.
Okay, now what does that sentence say? Before you speak, he already knows.
You hem me in behind and before. You have laid my hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me.
Okay, let's stop there. What is this passage saying?
You are everywhere.
And what comfort, if any, can we get from this passage?
I'm never alone.
Never alone. I can't do it by myself. I need him for sure.
Well, the next sentence is, your right hand will hold on to me.
Okay. Now, if I know nothing about gardening, why? I don't want to, thank you. But I do understand that one day I showed up for biology was if you have a tree or if you have a vine and you have a branch that runs out from that vine, what happens when that branch is cut off? It will die. Can that branch still find happiness?
No.
Are you positive?
Can it be grafted onto?
Pardon?
Can it be?
No. Can it find happiness?
On its own? No.
Only if it's grafted back.
Disagree. Think it can find happiness every day?
Could be part of a bonfire, huh?
Pardon?
Be happy.
Do you tell me, do anybody have friends that don't know Christ that are atheists?
Yes.
Don't raise your hand, just whatever. Are they ever have, do they ever find happiness?
Yes.
Well, certainly they do. Do I have to be a Christian to find happiness with my 10-year-old granddaughter?
No.
No. Don't confuse happiness and joy. You can fake happiness. You just told me you could. Faked it when I walked in. Not a person that day knew I was mad at her. Except her.
You didn't fake it with her.
Oh, didn't fake it with her. I was mad. I just stuck out. I was mad. But I faked happiness all day long. Enough that the person when I walked in the door said, I always like you because you're always happy. That was at a very low spiritual time in my life. But I knew how to be happy. You cannot fake joy. In fact, I'm going to be bold enough to say you can have joy if you're not connected to the one source of joyism, and that's Jesus Christ. You can be happy all day long. You can be going down and be happy. But that's not joy. Now, let's go back and review our people that we looked at. Job. Where did he find his joy?
In service to God. And God's acclamation that Job said what was right.
And why did God say what you said to me was right? Because some of the hardest questions ever asked about God are in the book of Job. When a man says, I wished I would have died in my mother's womb, but further back, I wished I wasn't even born, can you get much lower and your anger and your unhappiness of your situation than to give those two statements and have them recorded for history? Where did he find his joy? Because I believe he did have joy. But where?
In his search.
And what was his conclusion in his search?
That God was loved him and that God was there.
And what did he say? Though he slay me,
yet will I serve.
I will trust him. It's the only joy we have going through this world is to know Christ, be connected to Christ, and understand that if I'm Moses and I do not get across to the promised land, I can be unhappy, I can ask questions, I can consider alternatives. But it did not do away with his joy because he was connected to the person that gives him joy and he trusted that person. Joy is not tomorrow. Joy is not eternity. Joy is today. If you're connected and understand this beautiful passage in Psalms 139. God knows us. Before He speaks, He knows our words. He knew us before He created. He has a plan. But it does not mean that everything we pray for, everything that we do, everything that we come across, that we do not have the privilege of saying, "Why me, God? Why did you allow this?" You see, the final answer comes from who you're connected with. So we go through all of these great men of the Bible. We go through David. Life right out there in the open. And yet God said, "Friend of mine, did everything." Because the ultimate, as he went through all of these things, as he cried and he wailed, and as he looked at his son Absalom with darts in him, his hair hanging from a tree, and he cried out, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son." He knew where to go and say, "Create me in me, O Lord, a clean heart." And then it was David who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. And yea, though they put a table," that's joy. To understand that we are so precious in the sight of God, that when cancer hits, when depression hits, when life-threatening things happen, or somebody, 50,000 people are killed in Haiti, there is no joy unless you're connected to that vine and you say to God, "I don't understand why. And I wish it wasn't so. But I know you. And I know who you are. I know how much you care. I know how much you love me. And I will get through this." That is joy. So if I'll come right to you in a minute. If you're taken to a stake, you can sing. If you're crucified, you look at the entire congregation and you say, "I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord, so crucify me head down." That's joy. Why? The devil cannot throw enough things against you in this world if you're connected to Jesus Christ. Oh, the pain will be great. The sorrow will be great. The hurting will be great, but at the end of the day, you know who cares and who loves. And as you go to bed, that joy comes because you're in the arms of God. That you cannot fake.
I was asking you what the definition of joy was, and while you were speaking, I had an experience this last year that was the opposite of that. I was in my rut of lamentations and asking why and all that, you know, and I couldn't find a way out of it. And as audible a voice as I can say, although it wasn't, you know what I'm
saying? I understand.
You said, "Jeff, you have fear in your life." And it was a moment that was kind of like turning back again to understand what you're just talking about here, the joy. Either He is in charge or He's not.
That's right. There's no halfway being grafted onto a vine. You're either on that. And by the way, gift of the spirits? How does a person see your gift in joy? Well, it's nothing when you just cross the Red Sea. It's just nothing if you gamble and you hit the $1 million lotto. It's nothing that when you graduate and you... Yeah, I did graduate and you get that diploma and jump up and down. See? That's nothing. That's not joy. That's not what the gift is about. The gift of joy is when there is crisis in your life. And with tears you are weeping. And you say, I hurt. But there's someone who cares and I cling to Him. That's where the gift of joy is expressed. It's easy to be joyful as a Christian when everything's going your way. It's when it's not. That reveals, by the way, reveals to you where you stand. Yes, ma'am.
I believe that joy is a condition of the heart and the mind. And happiness is an expression of that condition.
Okay. Could be.
Ernie, I'd like to try to paraphrase because I want to make sure I understand what
you're
saying. So I want to clarify, Professor. It sounds to me like what you're saying is that joy is knowing that God, I can't hide my feelings from God.
Doesn't want you to, by the way.
And He does not change how He feels about me.
Right.
And it sounds like that's what you're saying that joy really is. Because I can come to Him with whatever is really happening in my life, which, by the way, we probably can't really do that to anybody else. And He is still okay with that. And that knowledge, because that's what David talks about, that is what is joy.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah. There's times when you're a little child and things just go horribly wrong that I ran to my daddy and had joy in his arms. Because I knew he was going to take care of me. God invites us to run to his arms. He's going to take care of us. That's his promise. But it doesn't mean we're not going to have problems and sorrow and unhappiness. But he will take care of us. Appreciate Jeff. If Jeff has fear in his life and he's reading the book of Lamentations, that's certainly a motivation builder with that book, see? But God came along and said, what? You have fear in your life. He can't work with Jeff unless Jeff understands that there's something in his life that he... Now, does Jeff need to work hard to overcome fear? No. Does Jeff need to say to God, I have fear. Yes?
We have some here who are in education, training young people. I guess we've all had children, most of us. And it's interesting that as I think back, and I grew up in this church all my life, and I'm not sure that I was grounded as firmly as I should have been. There's no reflection against my family. But we were too quick to talk about the Hebrew children who were saved from the fiery furnace, instead of talking about those people that burned at the stake. Daniel, who was saved from the lion, but you're not dressed those Christians they threw down there. I mean, pieces that they end up in. So, what did we do, or what could we do to make sure that we ground our young people in the truth?
I appreciate that question, Lloyd, because we have to show a picture of God of how He deals with all. As a child, we grow up and say, if you pray hard enough, God will answer. Or little Johnny wander away from home on Sabbath afternoon and about drowned. So had he stayed and been doing the right thing for Sabbath keeping, he might not have drowned. But see, we don't tell the pictures of John the Baptist. So we have to always present God in the right character, that He cares and that He loves. And we need to do that. Last observation.
I just wanted to say that in our lives are an example. I mean, people, they see the struggles that we go through. And I've had people say to me, they know what happened this week. every day, and I found myself every evening, I fell on my knees the moment I walked in the house, and just thank God that he was able to get me through this day. So when people see the tragedies that we go through, they ask me, how can you still be happy? And I say, it's not necessarily, I'm not happy. I'm very sad when we lose people. But what I do have is that joy that, it, like I said at the beginning, it's a gift. It is something that the Holy Spirit has put in me. It is a reflection that even through the tears, I still have that joy. I'm still, it's not me.
Because I like this lady, I'll let her get the last word.
I just want to refer to the table in the middle of Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. That table has enemies all around it.
Absolutely.
And it may be fear, or it may be pain.
Yeah.
It may be death and failure or something.
Yeah.
But the shepherd is at that table.
Absolutely.
With you, and that's the message.
Yes. It's the message that the whole world is crying for, is that no matter what happens, God cares. And read them Psalms 139, Psalms 23. Tell them the life of David, but come to the conclusions he comes. God cares, God loves. That's the message. I long ago said to myself, I will never tell a human being, I know you're hurting, but God's in control and everything will be okay. What a hollow words if you have no substance behind them. Send them to Jesus. Send them to the shepherd. Send them to the physician. Send them to the vine. Send them to the one who cares. And let His Spirit work on their heart. Father in heaven, you said the first gift that when we're grafted to you, we know you, we share with you, is that we have love for our fellow brothers and sisters. The second gift that we come to is joy because of the love you have in our lives that allow us to love others. No matter how dramatic the problems are, we still are contained in that joy because of our relation. And magnificently next week, we'll find that when we love and we have that joy, we find peace. That's just the way you are. Amen.